Before Apollo comes to be baptized, let me just remind us of why we do this rather peculiar thing and what it all means. Why do we do it? Because Jesus tells us to in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We do it because Jesus himself was baptized as an act of obedience to God. And we do it because the early church clearly thought it was important too. In Acts 2, when asked what to do by those who had become convinced of their need for salvation, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." What does it mean? Well, what it doesn't mean is anything magical. The water possesses no special properties. It came out of a tap and it's still in there because Mr. Brock sorted the problem with the drain. So nothing special at all. It is, however, a symbolic act of following Jesus. As Jesus died and rose again to new life, so we go under the water and emerge again. It's a symbolic act of being washed clean. We go into the water and emerge clean of all that makes us less than what God wants, than what God wants us to be. It's an acknowledgement of what Jesus has done for us. In Romans 6, we read, "We were therefore buried with him, with Jesus, through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." It is a commitment to live for Jesus, again in Romans 6. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And baptism is the point at which we become full members of the church. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, "We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body." So, as God's people, we are here today to witness Apollo's decision to follow Jesus and to support him in that decision. And I will now ask him to tell us how he came. There he is. I will now ask him to tell us how he came to this point. That's why I'm standing here. I'm going to do it.
Hi, I'm Apollo, one of the Horries. I grew up in this church in a very involved family. And even though I've been to church almost every Sunday of my life, I've always wrestled with finding my own personal relationship with God. This worsened when, through a struggle with mental health, I became angry at God for my pain, for who I was, and became distant with my faith. Going to church was the only thing that was holding my relationship with God alive. So of course, lockdown hit. I was already reliant on self-harm and had been suicidal for a long time. And the isolation and lack of Christian contact severed what was left of my faith. The idea that God loved me felt so foreign that going to church became a chore. One night I had reached lowest of lows, feeling like all had abandoned me. I called out to God for a miracle, something that can make life worth living, something to show me that he cared. And without me even noticing at the time, he answered me. He brought me someone who was patient, caring and understanding. And when exactly a month later I was hit with a long-term illness, I finally recognized what had happened, that he had answered my prayer. Through someone who didn't even know God's love, God gave me the strength to overcome my demons, to be set free from addiction and begin to love life again. He showed me that even though I felt abandoned at the hardest of times, he carried me through. He wanted me to live. He has a greater plan spanning much further than I can see. God showed me that he, the God of gods, loved me and had never left my side. He showed me that I am his son no matter what. No matter the situation, and he opened my eyes to how great it is to live my life with him by my side. There's one thing that stuck with me through this journey, a story that was on my mum's tea mug growing up called Footsteps. One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times in my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever, during your trials and testings, when you saw that only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you.
Yeah. I think Chris is now going to come and help us to revel in the excitement of that more.
Hi, everyone. It's not going to be like a regular sermon slot today. Instead, I've borrowed a sermon from a Greek bishop called St. John Chrysostom. I don't think he'd mind too much because he died in 407 AD.
I don't think you can assume that.
I think it's a rather wonderful thing that this St. John was writing this in 400 and odd. And today, this Easter, he preached that Easter all those years ago, and today Easter, 2024 in Cambridge, wildly different cultures, different times, and here we are, same gospel, same faith, same Jesus Christ, and I think it's rather wonderful. So his sermon, you'll be quite pleased to know, is quite short. It reads a bit more like a poem than a sermon. And he sort of frames it with, in the beginning anyway, about the story in the gospel, that a story that Jesus told about the vineyard owner who hires men at different times of the day. But at the end of the day, when the work is done, he pays the same money to each one. So here we go. Whoever you are, come. Celebrate this shining happening, this festival of light. You, the devout, God's unshakable lover, and you, the servant, brimming with thanks. Come, walk into the joy of your Lord. You who began before sunrise, come for your stipend. You who waited until 9 in the morning, this feast is for you. And you, the not till noonday starter, do not hesitate. You shall not lose a thing. You who began at only 3 in the afternoon, have no scruples. Come. And you who have arrived just before sunset, forget you are late. Do not be bashful. Our master is magnanimous and welcomes the very latest with the first. He will not entertain you less, you of the 11th hour, than you, the dawn toiler. No, not at all. To this one he gives, and on that one he showers rewards. Whether you are a success, or whether you only tried, he will greet you, make much of your effort, extol your intention. Let everybody, therefore, crowd into the exhilaration of our Saviour. You the first and you the last, equally heaped with blessings. You the rich and you the poor, celebrate together. You the careful and you the careless, enjoy this day of days. You who have kept the fast and you who have broken it, be happy today. The table is loaded. Feast on it like princes. The milk-fed veal is fat. Let no one go hungry. And drink. All of you, drink the cup. The vintage is faith. Feed sumptuously all. Feed on his goodness, his sheer abundance. No one need think he is poor, for the universal empire is emblazoned, wide open for all. No one need mourn uncountable falls, be they over and over, for forgiveness itself has reared from the tomb. No one need fear death, for our Saviour himself has died and set us free. He confronted death in his own person and blasted it to nothing. He made it defunct by the very taste of his flesh. This is exactly what Isaiah foretold when he declared, "Hell is harrowed by encounter with him." Of course it's harrowed, for now hell is a joke, finished, done with. Harrowed because now taken prisoner. It snatched at a body and, incredible, lit upon God. It gulped down the earth and gagged on heaven. It seized what it saw and was crushed by what it failed to see. Poor death, where is your sting? Poor hell, where is your triumph? Christ steps out of the tomb and you are reduced to nothing. Christ rises and the angels are wild with delight. Christ rises and life is set free. Christ rises and the graves are emptied of dead. Oh yes, for he broke from the tomb like a flower, a beautiful fruit, the first fruit of those already gone. All glory be his, all success and power, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.